A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. He looked around at everything, and since it was already late, went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went over to see if he could find anything on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the time for figs. And he said to it in reply, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and on entering the temple area, he began to drive out those selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He did not permit anyone to carry anything through the temple area. Then he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples'? But you have made it a den of thieves." The chief priests and the scribes came to hear of it and were seeking a way to put him to death. Yet they feared him because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. Early in the morning, as they were walking along, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus said to them in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, Jesus is assuredly having a bad week. It started out well enough with a triumphal entry into Jerusalem with a mob of people celebrating him. But that night, he knew it was already unsafe for him to sleep in Jerusalem. And under that threat, he went to be with his friends in Bethany. By the end of this week, though, he will meet his death, and on the way, he meets with trouble. Upon his return to Jerusalem, we read, he's hungry and approaches a leafy fig tree with expectations, only to be frustrated in not finding something with which to break his fast. So he curses the fig tree. At first blush, this seems strange. Why would Jesus waste his energy cursing an already debilitated tree? Actually, Jesus is simply predicting the obvious. This tree will die because it's diseased and has not been tended or nurtured. To tend and nurture was Jesus' purpose as he wandered from place to place, and it is part of his commission to us now. How often do we encounter an ailing human being whom no one is tending or nurturing? Do we predict the obvious, without Jesus' authority, by the way, or do we reach out? We are surrounded by individuals who, like the fig tree, fail to bear fruit and seem imperiled in every way, even to their roots. Jesus might have been able to predict that the tree would inevitably die, but we cannot presume that human beings will die any kind of death, any more than Jesus did as he ministered to the people of his time. It is our job to tend and nurture, to save if we possibly can. At times that means support, sometimes treatment, and sometimes pruning. We do what we can, especially through our prayers, and sometimes through action. Jesus had endless patience with people, but his patience did have limits. He didn't hesitate to lash out at the money changers. He saw the extortion, the deliberate ill will, the cheating, and the pseudo-pious purpose under which they were hidden. The money changers were ailing, and Jesus knew that tending them meant some drama. He had to get their attention. He had to do some serious pruning. But he didn't curse them as he did the tree. With them, as bad as they were, there was hope. Jesus tells us that we can even move mountains if we have the strength of faith. I wonder if he moved some mountains that day in the temple. We aren't told, and that is significant too. We do God's work in the same environment. We don't always know if we've moved a mountain or not. We can't read hearts the way Jesus could, and only by their fruits, sometimes much later, can we get a glimpse of whether we have been effective instruments of grace. But Jesus' words indicate that he may very well have moved a mountain or two that day. He speaks of praying with confidence that we will have what we pray for, even when we aren't sure what the best answer is. He speaks of forgiving as part of the prayer. He must have been very disposed to forgive the money changers, even as he trashed their stalls. He speaks of forgiveness as a condition of prayer. We must place ourselves with those for whom we pray because we also are ailing. We also need to be forgiven. At the same time, we must forgive people for their debilitation, their disease, before we can effectively pray for them. If we don't, then we are placing ourselves in a position of mighty healer rather than humble intercessor. We are attempting resuscitation of our own rather than dialing 911 and surrendering to the intervention of the one who actually knows what to do. It is faith that enlivens our prayer, faith that God does, in fact, know what to do, faith that God does, in fact, care about the halt and the lame, faith that God is always listening and always active. Let us pray for one another, for that kind of faith that can move mountains, and for the kind of heart that tends and nurtures.